The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
It's come down to this. 100 laps, 5 to go at the line. 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start finish line. Going down into turn number 1. They start to fan out. Coming off a 2. They're side by side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn 4. White flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers. Anybody's races. They go down to turn number 1. They fan out. 2 by 2. 3 wide. Coming off the turn number 2. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top, trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around 4, there's still 2 by 2. 3 cars drop back. It's 1 car coming out sideways. Who's on the inside? Coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing. Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
Florida Racing.
All right, folks, you're listening inside Florida Racing. We got Jason in the house.
No, I'm not in the house.
He's in his house. He's in the tower, 8 stories up here. Carol Wicks, are you live? Carol, can I hear you?
I believe I'm live. I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Rob Elting here, Bonehead, and we got Jack in the house here, and you're listening to Real Racing USA inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing sunburn style.
Welcome to Inside Florida Racing.
He's been burning at the beach all day.
I'm not going to be able to wear my overalls, I think, for about a week.
You won't have to. They'll see you coming for a long ways with that bright flaming red body of yours.
I can feel the heat coming off me.
So the sun was bright today. I hope everybody had a great Labor Day.
I was in incognito out at Inglewood Beach.
If you had to work today, I'm sorry. I didn't have to work.
Actually, I started to. I started to go in and work on the Bobcat, and my father-in-law says, "Get out of here," which was nice of him.
Would you forget to ask on Friday, or as of Friday, y'all were working?
No, I broke my machine on Friday, and I had to go fix it. Yes.
Nothing like the broke machine. So, Carol, tell us about this great show that we're having today. Big show, got some big stars on the show today.
We certainly do. We have Earl Pearson with us from Putnam Speedway.
Dirt late model racer.
Ricky Carmichael.
Mr. Motorcycle Man, see him with my
Mr. Motorcycle Man turned super late model stock car man.
Yes, we're going to find out how he feels about that.
We'll
I'm sure it's different.
The monster.
He thought he was getting away from those young kids, you know, that are coming into the motorcycle racing, and now he's right back in it. The young kids of the super late model racing, which the young kids kind of tore up some stuff this week and really won some nice, finished well there at International, USA International Speedway. We'll talk about that later. Who else?
Travis Cope, who won the third leg of the Triple Crown at USA Speedway.
Travis,
awesome.
That's Jimmy's...
That's Mike Cope's son and
Mike's
Jimmy
son,
Cope's nephew.
Jimmy's nephew.
And this kid's got it in his blood, let me tell you.
Yeah, he pretty much whipped up on a pretty good field of super late model racers and also in the Goodyear Challenge.
All you old guys out there, don't you just love it when the young kids beat up on you?
It was definitely a show. Jason Lowe has got an unbelievable story to tell us.
His story ought to be made into a movie. His story be made into a movie.
You never know.
I tell you, it's the racer does good. Something bad happens to Racer. Racer comes back and takes up right where he left off.
And then is exposed then on Inside Florida Racing, and they wrote a book about him and then a movie. So that's all coming.
And the funny thing is he feels like he shouldn't be on this show because he can't compete with the other guests. Let me tell you, if everybody had the courage of this guy.
Jack, no.
Can't compete with the other guests? Don't worry about it.
I tell you what, somebody said something to a friend of mine, and they asked to see their portfolio. And he goes, the kid goes, he says, I'd like to be a professional race car driver. And he's talking to a 78-year-old man who's been in NASCAR and raced anything and everything. And, in fact, he tried to qualify for the Daytona 500 this year. And he looked at the boy's portfolio, had a whole bunch of beautiful race cars in it. And he says, "Where are the ones that are beat up?" He says, "Well, I didn't think I should put those in there." He goes, "Oh, yeah, you need to put the ones in there." He says, by the looks of it, he says, you are a professional race car driver. So it doesn't matter what you drive. If you drive a go-kart on a 3/8-mile track or a dirt track, or if you're running the Super Speedways at Talladega, Daytona, F1, anything like that, you know, Saturday Night Racer, you are a professional race car driver.
As long as you're getting paid, you're professional.
As long as you're not tearing up equipment.
That's how the health insurance looks at it when you try to get health insurance. Are you getting paid to race that car? Well, then you're not covered.
Yeah, but I'm not even breaking even. Come on. It's costing me more to race than it is.
Jason, is that all the folks that are going to be on, Carol?
We're going to have some of the track announcers let us know what's going on. But what do you mean, is that all? This is an awesome guest list.
No. Are you finished? I didn't want to step all over you there.
Do you know?
Hey, don't hurt yourself over there. Okay, Jack.
Jack's upside down backwards in his chair.
On December the 27th, and this message is just going out for like a couple of individuals who...
2 days after Christmas, the WKA Nationals usually go on in Daytona.
Yeah. On December the 27th in the year 2000, Jason Lowe, Rick Angies and I were just talking about this the other day. Jason Lowe made his debut on Karnak's Real Racing USA talk radio or whatever we called it back then.
Wow.
And he told that story that he's going to tell tonight. And if he has just continued. That was like, what, 7 years ago? And he has just he had just gotten over all that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He was just coming back then. That was on December 27th, year 2000. Just a flashback, you know?
Yeah.
When you get old, you get flashbacks.
I'm already having them, and I'm not old.
That's all I get is flashbacks.
That's about when I stopped racing back then. That's about when I stopped racing was around 2000. Well, somewhere around there.
Hey, just...
Where did you go this weekend, Miss Carol?
I went to USA Speedway to watch the third leg of the Triple Crown.
I'm not even going to ask if you had a good time, because I know you did.
Actually, I did, but it was so hot. I cannot believe how hot it was. I don't know how you drivers do it. Put those suits on and spin out there.
That's why you never see the drivers ready to go out of the track on summertime. That's like Jason's probably always going, drivers, your class is up. Where you at? You're at staging and no one's there.
Speaking of people doing different things during the weekend, I got to do something really neat this weekend. I got to meet Phil Harp from the DeSoto Champ Kart Series. And he invited me down to the Charlotte County Motorsports Park to drive one of his champ carts on Friday night. What a rush. What a rush. I mean, I'm a big boy. I'm not.
You should have charged admission.
It was pretty funny.
From what I understand, I had three people tell me that they would have paid to be there.
One of them is the guy
who sells concession or the NASCAR collectibles down there. He swore he would pay to see you do that.
Well, okay.
Was it the actual driving or to see him get him in the car?
No. that was the trick, getting into the cart and getting out of the cart. Because Bill probably weighs about $140 soaking wet.
Oh, he had a small seat in there then.
Yes, he did. And I weigh all of 240. Now, these carts, when the race is over, they have to weigh 400 pounds plus the driver, right?
All right.
So we went out there. He timed me. I was running about 70, 75 miles an hour flat-footing around the track. Ran about 5-6 laps, but what a rush. You literally lay down in these little cars. It's one of them high-powered go-karts with a roll cage on it, and it was an absolute rush. Took two tubes of Absol grease, a hammer, two big feet, and a shoehorn to get me in and out of that cart.
Did you keep it to the floor all the way around?
I kept it to the floor, even down in turn four where that big nasty bump is. And trust me, when you're in a go-kart, you feel it. But what a rush. I got to say thank you to Phil Harp and all the folks from the DeSoto Champ Kart Series for letting me get in there and experience that. It was a ball.
How many of those guys did they have?
Ooh, 17?
Really?
I think.
So they put on a good little show then, huh?
I have never seen such close, fun, exciting racing in a long time than with the DeSoto Champ Karts. The draft actually works in these cars.
Yeah, they can draft. Yeah.
And, I mean, they're bump drafting all the way around the track. You'll get a three-car breakaway, and the third car will back off and start sucking up the other four that are behind them. I mean, you know, at the end of the race, we had five cars all within, I'm going to say, less than a second of each other crossing the finish line. It was unbelievable. Track owners, if you haven't had these guys out at your track, you need to get a hold of them. You need to have them out at your track. They are a lot of fun. It's real close racing, and these guys know how to race. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
So you guys got rained on at the end of the night, huh?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I thought we were going to get away. We got real lucky early on, and then the rain, I mean, we didn't even bother looking to the radar once it started getting dark and everything looked fine. Went down, did an extended interview with the Outlaw Modified drivers, which we haven't had back in a long time. They came out in full force, put on a great show.
They had about 18 cars, didn't they?
Yeah, they had about 18 cars, and it was
and
a really
Super
good
Frog
show.
Was there?
Raymond Super Frog Jones,
yay!
Man, I tell you what, I remember watching him race in the street stocks and the sportsmen, the super stocks, whatever they called them back then, and we had such a ball racing with Raymond. He is just, you know, he's a racer, and you know, he really doesn't try to get involved with all the politics and everything, and
never,
you know, even if he gets bent up, he's like, ah, go home, put it back together, and I'll come out here and race. It was really good seeing him.
Hey,
driving
Jack,
a Toyota,
yes.
Man.
Hey, the boat race, the figure eight boat race, got canceled because of rain. How could that be?
Yeah, it's one of those things.
They should have had it up.
Inexplicable.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have had the boat race. That would have been good to go ahead and have that in the rain.
You know, we've ran them in the rain before, too, but it was coming down pretty heavy. Everybody headed for cover, and we were trying to look at the radar there and try to figure out what we were going to do. Everybody had their cell phones flipped open looking at radar, and we're just kind of shaking our heads going, we'll never get this back.
You know, Florida weather this year, it's not the hurricanes that are getting us. It's just these pounding storms that, you know, we're getting, you know, every night.
Me, like anybody, any other race fan, I love racing. I do. And if I don't get my racing on Saturday night, if I don't get my fix, I'm usually pretty damn cranky during the week.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to argue, because with the dry season we went through around here, we need the rain.
We need the rain bad.
Even if it fills up the inside of the track,
we need it
rain.
On Sunday night.
Yeah, we just need the track owners to hold out. You know, hang in there. You're going to get your days. You know,
well,
it's tough on them when they don't race. You
I need
know,
to get
really
a hold
is.
Of Humpy Wheeler and see if he'll build a lean-to over the top of some of these tracks down here.
We got a Humpy bump.
There is a Humpy bump in turn four.
They had rain three or four times just before the USA Speedway, before they started.
Does USA have a curfew? Do they have a curfew?
I don't think so.
They're right next to the interstate. I wouldn't think so.
I'm pretty sure.
Because they drag race out there, too.
No, because I stood there in the rain one night till way late.
Yeah.
Way, way late.
So, did you watch all the races? Did you watch the Goodyear Challenge?
I did.
And did you enjoy that?
Except there were some crashes that were pretty bad. I don't enjoy those myself.
Well, at USA, usually some of the crashes can be pretty serious there. I've seen some of the most serious crashes in my career I've seen right there. I've seen one
Me
of the
too.
Most serious fires that Jack has on the wall. I was at that racetrack that night, raced in my car that night. That was the Limiteds that raced after us. Had that fire happened before, I'm sure I still probably would have raced, but it shook people up pretty good when they couldn't get the, as you can see, can't get the stuff to come out of the hose. They couldn't get none of the pumps to work on the truck. So,
Rich Clouser come down the front straightaway against the wall. I don't know how fast he was going, but it was fast, and went up into the wall at the curve on one.
Oh, man.
Man, we thought he was hurt really bad. He got out of the car, and thank God he walked back to the pits. Jeremy Goddard got in a pretty bad one. And
was he all right?
He had problems with his eye. He couldn't see out of one of his eyes after the crash.
I'm going to have to give Jeremy a call. That's
did they run modifieds? They run modifieds?
No, that's all they had was
just two late model
those
shows?
Two races. The super late model race hardly had any crashes, just a couple spin-outs, nothing really. Thank God, nothing serious.
You know, it's kind of funny you brought up the whole fire and crashes thing. That's something that gets brought up quite often. I think it's something that needs to be brought up on a regular basis. I just had a chance to see probably one of the worst fires that I saw when I was about 16 years old, and that was at DeSoto Super Speedway with Leroy Porter. Bob from Florida Video gave me a copy of it. That was the last time I had gone to DeSoto. I was a young kid. It really really affected me badly because I was right there during the whole thing. And you drivers out there, I'm telling you, there is no price tag. There is no price tag on safety. If you got to spend, if you got to get a sponsor to buy you a new fire suit, you buy it. Get rid of these fire suits that are oil stained that you've had. I know of two drivers personally, and I give them crap every week about it, that they're still using the same fire suit that they were using 15 years ago.
Yeah, once it's been washed 25 times, it's pretty much done. You've washed all the, if you don't believe me, put a flame to it.
Yeah.
Put a flame to some of them tatters that are laying around, you know, and we tried to get rid of those a little bit at Charlotte County at the beginning, you know, try to get those guys. If you got a ripped driving suit, you're going to get burned, but, you know, people are only going to believe what they believe, you know, and I've seen different. That's why I spent good money on a driving suit, you know, and hopefully I don't ever have to test it, but if I do, I'll be ready for a few seconds.
Yep. Keep your fire suits, your belts, your helmets. If you can even fork out and get the fire retardant underwear, do that. And also your shoes. It is no joke. If anybody ever saw the Leroy Porter crash, I mean, you know, and if you know Leroy, I mean, he will preach to you day in and day out, please have the best safety equipment that money can buy. And I tell you what, because the minute you say, not me, it's going to happen to you. Oh, I can get out of that car quick. Well, I tell you what, when that car spins around and hits the wall backwards, ruptures your fuel cell, then your driver's side is up against the wall. You can't get out. You got a roll cage bar in your way. Then you try to crawl through, get your everything caught up on everything inside the car. Now you're burning. You know what? You need good equipment, drivers. You need good equipment. And moms, because I know there's a lot of young kids out there that race, moms, you don't want your kid getting burnt up. You do not want them getting burnt up. Get them good safety equipment. And I've got some other people I need to get with Carol lined up that to talk about safety and fires and stuff like that. But please, get good safety equipment. I'm sure there are plenty of sponsors out there that will step up when you tell them, look, you know, I've got a race car. I want to race, but I want to survive, too. I need some safety sponsorship so I can race.
One of the that's one of the biggest things. Pretty much all of the radio stations, all the internet stations, have all covered safety, fire safety, with the best in the business. And like you said, if you can't talk a driver into doing it, he's not going to do it.
Yeah, there was also a dirt track. I can't remember where it is. I'll have to go back through the message board on Karnak. But there was a dirt track racer, open wheel modified. I mean, it was a basic kind of a rollover crash type deal. You know how they do that Indy thing, and the car ended up kind of upside down and backwards on the fence, and the fuel cell ruptured. This guy had the best suit, the best equipment, everything. And the car was completely destroyed. Nothing left of it. It was just a cinder on a trailer when they hauled it home. But he also put the pictures of his fire suit, his shoes, his gloves, his helmet, everything up on there. If it hadn't have been for that equipment, that driver would not have been here.
Well, we got our safety lesson for the day. Make sure that you have your driving suits and all your stuff in line.
I have one bit of news, and I hate to disappoint all the girls in Florida that have their eye on that handsome Jay Middleton. Jay is getting married the end of October.
Sorry, Carol.
Are you kidding? I'm way too old to be thinking like that.
But you did.
No, I didn't. You need to stop this. This
Jay's
is embarrassing.
The one
that,
look at her. Look at her.
She's
racer.
Turning red.
Jay
turning
Middleton
red
is about
sunburn.
20 years. I met Jay at Charlotte County Speedway when he was 15, 16 years old, and now he's off getting married.
Yeah, he's the one that was on the show that does the TV show there in Bronson.
Yeah, yes.
Can't remember
what
was
that,
called.
The reality show?
It's called Race This. No, it was called something. Can't remember.
I can't think of
it. So how hard
right
is it for you guys to just say, congratulations, Jay, instead of
you're talking
making
to the guys.
Me look like a Herbert.
Jay.
I'm sorry, Jay. I'm sorry, Jay.
Because guys
Jay.
Don't do that. Guys go out and they go out and they get
and they say run
they
really
stripper,
fast
and they
we say
drink a lot of booze and they act insane.
Get a
and
donkey,
that's what guys do.
And
we say congratulations when they win the race, not when they say they're getting married.
I didn't want you to apologize to Jay. I wanted you to
they
apologize to me for calling me a pedophile.
Oh no, that's terrible. Nobody said the word pet. Anyways, we were talking about Lakeland and the Goodyear Challenge, and Daniel King Jr. won the race in the Goodyear Challenge.
Good job, Daniel.
They did have, like she said, a wreck that went on. They had a couple of wrecks that went on during that race. And
Clouser had a serious wreck.
Very serious, and his wife and his little girl were standing right next to me. It was horrible.
You all right, Jack?
You said it was there was nothing serious. 5 minutes ago.
He didn't get hurt. He could have been.
Well, wait a minute. 5 minutes ago, you said there was nothing serious.
He could have. He could have been hurt.
In the super late model race.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That's what she said.
I wish everybody in this place would wake up.
Oh.
So Macy was in that Goodyear Challenge, and I saw that Wayne Morris was there, and he had some issues.
Broke the clutch pedal right on.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, way.
Jeez,
that was
what
a
rip.
Tried to
that
talk him
into
going to the, get some treatment. Jane did, but Jane Smith. But apparently he didn't.
Treatment for what?
His foot.
What happened now?
He hit the wall at Lakeland.
Right.
In that wreck.
Right.
Yeah.
He break it?
Don't think so.
We're talking about Wayne?
No.
Who?
Rich Clouser.
Oh, Clouser. Okay.
Who has won the championship the last several years.
There we go. Now we pop back. Okay. It's my headphones are going crazy, so I'm having issues.
Mine are already toast. My battery went dead.
So they're hanging off your head. Anyways.
You know, those Goodyear Challenge races, those limited late model races, just like what you were talking about, you were in that race, you know, and that was like the first time they were ever there. And ever since... The standard was set that night because invariably the late models, not the super late models, but the late models invariably turn it into a demolition derby at Lakeland.
Do they? In the supers they do?
No, in the late models.
I always remember that the guys that I raced with and when I raced there that you were careful there because we used to watch the modifieds go out there and run, and then the modified show, they would be all up on top of each other, flipping over on the first lap. And so you'd see that, and you'd say, okay, am I going to go out here and crash up my Dorito and throw it away right here? And I think invariably the guys, you know, tend to take, you know, a few laps. Because at Lakeland, listen, it doesn't matter where you start at Lakeland. Okay, if you got a good car, and it's going to be a good car the whole time, you'll be up there at the end of the race. And it's like that at any of these 100-lap races. But you can't tell. The young kids, you can't tell them that because they get going.
I'm
and they
run this
good.
On the first lap.
Well, they run good from first lap to lap 100.
That some of the young kids actually have more patience than some of the – there's some of these guys that are racing in that class, not that division, not the Goodyear Challenge Series. We're not picking on that. Just that class of cars. There are some guys who race in that class who, like we said a long time ago, are racing late models on a street stock budget and street stock talent. There are some guys who don't need to be racing at Lakeland with those guys.
Well, there's no doubt, and they weed themselves out. Exactly, they weed themselves out, and I hope I was never one of those guys. You know, and I wasn't. Because I kept my car underneath
me,
and I finished the top 10. Anytime I race at Lakeland, you can go and look up Rob Elting's name. I finished in the top 10 when I raced there. And
in order to do that,
you had to keep your car under you the whole time, and that's a big place, and it's easy to drive there. I'll tell anybody that asks, easiest track in the state of Florida to drive because you can one hand it down there. Okay, you can drive it easy, but. Get it out of shape, or get a car going slower in front of you, and you don't realize it, and you run in the back of them, you have some problems.
Well, Rob, you've raced with all these guys. When you're going down, okay, come off of turn four, you head down the front straight, you're going really fast.
Yeah.
What possesses a guy who's running in 12th on the 10th lap of a 100-lap race at Lakeland? What challenges a guy to want to put it three wide into turn one, or force his way into turn one?
Because
in that circumstance,
when you're driving, Is that what happened, three wide?
Well, I'm just, no.
The track, look, the track will hold three wide. You about think that it will, yeah.
It's happened many times.
It's the speed that you're carrying, and what happens is a lot of times the guy behind, obviously, he's catching a draft. You're catching a big-time draft there, and you'll come around the guy, and the speed that you have, there's no stopping that. Once that happens and he goes for it and he throws it out there and they're already too wide, there's no stopping it. Invariably, they always try to dive under because nobody really runs the bottom there. So once they dive under, they end up pushing up, and that usually causes problems there. But, you know, your guys that have been racing for a while, they're not going to do that. They're going to pick and choose their spots, and they know where their car is faster than the other guy by the time lap 100 comes. And that's what we were getting to, you know, not winning on the first lap. Everybody likes to lead. Everybody likes to lead and have a good time. But, okay, well, we've talked enough about Lakeland and what's going on. We've got to get to Earl Pearson's going to be our first one we're going to talk to. Let's do a commercial break real quick, and we'll get to him. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
All right, we'll be right back with Earl Pearson Jr. Earl Pearson Jr.
Hey, my name is Roger Rudiman. You're listening to Real Racing USA.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star race car bodies. 5-star race car bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-star race bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA late model series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
All right. All right. I'm in one ear, not the other. I hope I'm in all of your ears. We're back with Inside Florida Racing.
And?
Turn your microphone on there, Carol.
Here we are.
Yes, there you are.
There you is.
And I'm hoping that we have Mr. Earl Pearson on the line. Are you there, Earl?
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to the show.
Yep, glad to be here.
Did you hear how I wound up having you on the show?
No, I've been out of town. My PR guy called me the other day and said I'd be on the show.
I was at my house, and a friend of mine came over to help me with a GPS. And I said, who do you know that's a super dirt model racer that I could ask to be on the show? And he said, Earl Pearson. You got to get Earl Pearson on. So, well, it was funny. I said, well, I don't know Earl because I don't go to dirt races that much. And he said, well, I'll tell you this and that and the other thing. As soon as he left, I went on the computer and Wayne had put a big story about you on there. It was like it was meant to be. So here you are.
Just meant to be.
I'm telling you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
And now, just a second ago, Earl, I heard sirens. Where are you at?
He's running moonshine somewhere.
He just got erased it.
Actually, I just got back in town from West Virginia and brought my family over here to eat a little bit. So we're just outside, kicking around outside the restaurant.
Okay.
How'd you do this weekend in racing?
We qualified second out of 83 cars and wound up running fourth. So that was a brand new car, and that's pretty much what we did last year. We had a brand new car at the Hillbilly, which was the race we run this past weekend, and we won it last year and took that same car to Eldora and won there. So we're trying to do the same thing this year.
Where do they run the Hillbilly at? That, is that West Virginia Speedway?
No, it's actually Tyler County.
Okay.
West Virginia.
Is okay. that a Lucas Oil race?
Yes, sir. It was a Lucas Oil race, and we're still leading the points.
Sweet.
The guy running second, he runs second in the race, so he picked up a couple points on him, but I think we still got like a, probably close to 200-point lead on him. So we still got a little bit of a cushion, but we can't let our guards down by no means. We still got to do the best we can do each and every race and try to win some and run in the top five every event.
Yeah, that's a lot of ground to make up, but sometimes they can make it up in a hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Earl, how many races does the Lucas Oil Dirt Series run?
We scheduled, like, I think it's like 35 races. But I'll run close to, like, 73 races total this year.
Wow. And you're running the Outlaw. You run the Outlaw Series, too, as well, don't you?
Yeah, when we're close by and got a chance, we'll go run with them guys, too, and the Southern All-Stars. Just depend on where we're at in the country and what our schedule is. Of course, we run all the Lucas Oil shows, but, you know, a lot of times we're out in the Midwest and we get a couple of days off, so we'll go run the World Outlaws or Southern All-Stars or UMP, whatever's going on that week, we'll venture off and run something else.
So how many, what'd you say, you're going to run about 70 races? Is that what you said this year?
Yeah, I'm scheduled to run 73, you know, wow. give or take a couple, you know, due to rain. So it's going to be right at 70, 72, somewhere in that range.
And Earl, you actually have kids?
Yeah. I can tell you what, I spend a lot of time away from home. That's why I spend all the time I can with them when I get back home.
Well, Earl,
I'm usually gone from, I don't know, 120 days a year I'm usually going out of town.
Well, I'll tell you, you're lucky you got Wayne there to plug for you. He's a good friend and a good promoter for you.
Earl?
Yes, he does a good job for me. I'm really glad to have him. I mean, he helps me out a lot of binds as far as, like, talking to you people and the press and whatever and doing things with the sponsors that, you know, I can concentrate on my driving, and he helps me a lot.
Earl, oh, yeah, and he said we better do it right.
Earl, if you ever want to take some time off, me and Rob Elting here, we're great asphalt drivers, and we want to get a chance at dirt at some time. We'll be more than happy to let you stay home. We'll go race your cars for you.
That sounds good. I need a break.
Hey, Earl, are you going to come to East Bay and run the Nationals this year?
Yes, in February, yes, we'll be there. I think we're scheduled the same schedule as we always are, you know, Monday through Saturday. It's going to be a Lucas Oil event again this year, I understand. So, yes, we definitely will be there.
I've actually interviewed you before at one of those races there, and I was pretty impressed with y'all racing there at East Bay. That whole deal, it's amazing how many cars, you know, being an asphalt late model driver, I run super late models, and I tell you, it's just unbelievable how many people show up and how many cars show up and that you guys can run, you know, day in and day out and have plenty of folks showing up, you know. And down south here, you know, it's, I don't know, it sucks, Earl.
It's hard to be honest with you. It's hard to find clay. We ain't got nothing but swamp down here.
It's
There's no clay.
Terrible.
I'll be honest with you. I understand right where you're coming from. Yeah, I grew up here in Florida, raced in, you know, Florida most of all my life until I started traveling a little bit. And I'm telling you, when you go out in the Midwest, when the races are over, the fans come to the cars. They want to get in them. They want to be around them. You can't even hardly get close to your race car. You can't even get in your hauler. And, you know, the state of Florida, after the race is done, everybody just goes home. They don't even come down there and look around or do nothing of that nature.
Yeah, they don't even care about the winner here in Florida.
I know.
Give him his check, and he goes home. You know, it's a shame that it is like that, and I haven't figured it out. I'm just stuck here. I've been here my whole life, and Jason, too. Carol, we're all here, you know, and we try to make the best of it. And, you know, tell the folks out there maybe, you know, we have a lot of aspiring drivers that are out there, and we get out to drivers on the asphalt and on dirt as well. Maybe tell some of our younger drivers out there about what they need to prepare themselves for and what they need to be thinking about if they're thinking about being a racer that's going to race, you know, 70 days, you know, out of the year. What kind of preparation do they need to do with their own mind?
Well, the biggest thing is keep your head clear. You know, drugs, of course, is a no-no, first of all. But the biggest thing is to go out there and do the best you can each and every week. You know, win races, get your name out there, get your name in these newspapers and what have you. And like I say, Wayne's helped me a tremendous amount. But that's the biggest thing I think you got to do is just go out there and do the best you can, even in the go-kart level where I started. We traveled all over the state of Florida. And just win as many races as you can. And like I say, get your name out there, get them in the newspapers, on the Internet, magazines, whatever it may be. And, you know, knock on wood, I had a lot of breaks in my career. And luckily it's turned out good for me. So you just got to stay at it, believe in yourself, and don't ever give up. You know, like the deal with me and Bobby, I was just at the right place at the right time to meet this guy. And, you know, it just clicked from right that point on. We talk all the time on the phone, at the shop, wherever he may be. He's way busier than I am, and it's hard to catch him. But, you know, we talk all the time late at night. That's the best time he does his business. But
for the guests who don't know you, we're referring to Bobby Labonte, of course.
Yeah.
Now
we're gonna make him know you, Earl.
Hey, I got one of his Busch cars in my father-in-law's garage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Earl. Let's talk about the big race. Okay, the big race for you is actually coming up this weekend, and you're gonna defend your title at the World 100. Talk about that a little bit. What that's gonna be like?
Well, like I say, it's the biggest race we have, and it's like the Daytona 500 for Nextel Cup. You get 240 cars show up at this event.
Wow.
35,000 people. And that's huge for us. But
you know,
the biggest thing is you got to have some kind of luck on your side. Being good always don't get you in a race, because if you get 240 cars, only 24 get to start. Everybody else goes home. It makes it tough, very tough. And like you say, last year just to win it was huge, huge for me. And you know, you got 240 best there is in the country.
You know, Earl, whenever you, how many times have you ran that race?
Honestly, I've probably been going to that place for 6-7 years.
And I've only,
the first 3 years, I never even made the show, not even close. So, like I say, it's a very tough deal. And the way we do qualifying there is completely different than any other place in the country. You draw two numbers.
your
first lap. You only get one lap. Your first lap is your first number you draw. Then your second number, you know, you get your second lap, which might be, you know, after everybody qualifies the first round, then that's when you go out for your second round. So what I'm saying is there's no room for error, by no means.
Well, wow. I tell you, if there's any cat that's out there on the dirt that's good at qualifying, I started looking a little bit at your history, and I'm going to tell you, son, you are a hell of a qualifier. Not only a hell of a racer, but a hell of a qualifier. I mean, and that really, in the racing that you do, that's what it's all about in some ways, right?
Well, yeah, it definitely helps. You know, if you can qualify in the top 5 or 10, whatever it may be. See, and we run heat races, so that gets you up front.
Right.
You start this day and time, I'm sure you guys can relate to this. If you start way back in your heat, and you don't transfer very good, then you start, you know, 20th, whatever it may be in a feature. This day and time, it's tough to pass all these guys.
Right.
Earl, you were talking about you started racing go-karts at an early age. How old were you when you first started racing? How'd you get the bug, and where are you from?
Well, here in Jacksonville, my family's been involved in racing all their life, my dad, and you know, at 8 years old, he got me started in go-kart racing. We just, you know, travel around locally. And I think around age 12, we started doing two-cycle go-kart racing. And
right.
We traveled all over the United States doing that. And then I, you know, ventured off into open wheel modified ranks and done it locally here in Jacksonville, and, you know, ventured down to Volusia a little bit, done a little bit of asphalt racing. And but, I mean, it's been a long road, don't get me wrong. And like I told you earlier, you know, a lot of breaks have failed my way. So that's definitely helped me out. And just being at the right place at the right time and having a lot of good people behind you.
You know, you were
my family, my dad.
Being at the right place at the right time. What was your first big break? I mean, what was the biggest one of your career?
I'm gonna say it probably was. My dad had a lot of good friends here in Jacksonville, and the people he used to race with, you know, Gene Chapman, DeLone Stanton, yeah, and Arliss Griffin, and they kind of pushed me. You know, to travel out with the Have a Tampa series back in those days. And, you know, just by doing that, winning the Rookie of the Year, Have a Tampa, we just got to know a lot of good people. And got a big break with Marvin Harris. He was a guy out of Atlanta. And he took me on, and we started traveling out in the Midwest. And I really got a big break with Carlton Lamb out of Dunn, North Carolina, the guy I was with 5 years. And we won a bunch of championships with him, won a bunch of races. And I'm going to say that's probably one of my biggest breaks, other than being with Bobby Labonte.
I was just going to ask you, how did you get that?
Well, believe it or not, I had a friend that works with Joe Gibbs, and he worked on Bobby's car and Tony Stewart's car there in the shop, and he changes tires for those guys. And Bobby and the guys were racing at Talladega one night, and we had a race, you know, well, actually, they had a Sunday race, and we had a Saturday night race there in Talladega at a Talladega dirt track. And Bobby just come over there, and this guy we knew, he introduced us. And from that point on, and luckily, I won the race that night, so I'm sure that
that always helps, too.
Sometimes you just got to be in the right place at the right time, huh?
You're exactly right, yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Earl, how old are you?
I'm 35.
35 now. You talked about Jacksonville and racing those go-karts. Now, son, I'm going to tell you, I raced in Jacksonville on some go-karts at old Maxville Speedway. I know you know where that's at.
Oh, yeah.
Is that where you cut your teeth out there, man, around the barbed wire fence?
Yeah, actually, I raced McClenny, which I don't know if that track was open when you was racing, but I started in McClenny, and then, you know, the Maxville track started, and that's where we raced many, many nights there for many years.
Yeah, I raced asphalt go-karts at that time, and we raced at the 103rd Street Complex there in Jacksonville, that park that the city owns. And after the race one day, we were coming back, and we saw those guys racing there in Maxville, and I ran a twin 100cc there, and they had that open class, and we stopped there, and we raced that night. And I remember I had a blast racing that night in the open class, and we raced till about midnight out there. But that's funny, you know, it's good to hear. You know, I love to hear any of the Florida guys that are out there doing real good, you know, in the races that they, in their classes that they race in. You know, love to see David Ruderman doing what he did and racing and getting the Toyota ride and being with them. Love to see how you're doing in this series and leading the points in your series that you run and finishing well. And it bodes well for talent in Florida. We're going to have Ricky Carmichael on the show in a little while. And he's racing super late models now out of a Mark Martin stable, you know. And Mark sent him down here to Florida to run these the Southern asphalt shows, you know, in super late model because it's a tough crowd down here.
And I'm glad to see people like that, you know, get to have the opportunity to do things like that. And like I say, hopefully I'll get the opportunity to run a truck series or Busch or whatever. But like I tell everybody, if I don't, I'm very happy where I'm at. You know, I'm 35 years old, winning races, winning championships. And, you know, if I venture off into something else, it's going to take me a couple of years to get back, you know, to winning races and what have you. So I'm not saying that I might not be able to do it, but I would love to have the opportunity. And if I don't, I'm happy.
You know, Earl, I mean, we're not real versed in the ways of dirt track racing. I mean, we're familiar with it. We know enough to get by, I think. Talking to a lot of asphalt racers from Florida, a lot of your late model guys and stuff, whenever they go out of state or people from out of state come to race here, you know, the Florida racers are a totally different breed from everybody else in the United States. Have you noticed that is probably the same with the dirt track racers?
Yes, I would say you're probably right. There's a lot of good dirt racers, you know, they come out of the state of Florida that even run with me now. You know, you got Patrick Shelter, and the list goes on and on and on, you know. And matter of fact, right now he's running some Arca stuff. So I think he's hooking up with Ken Schrader. So, and he's a younger guy that probably don't get the opportunity to go on to bigger and better things. So, and I like to see the guys come off dirt. Because you see, you know, Carl Edwards and Stewart and them guys of that nature that come from dirt and succeed in Next Step Cup. So I like to see that.
Well, who's your mentor?
Well, it goes on and on. But, you know, my dad and, you know, Bobby and Richard Petty. You know, Richard Petty was my man. You know, first time I ever even went to Daytona, Richard Petty was there. And, I mean, he just dominated that race. And, yeah, awesome. I just loved him from that point on. And it's kind of odd all this stuff took place the way it did. You know, when Richard retired, I moved to Terry Labonte. That was my man. And now I'm driving for his brother, Bobby Labonte, and I get to see Terry all the time. And it's just more or less like a dream come true. But, you know, for my dad to do what he did and put me all in the right places, it's been great for me.
So this weekend at Eldora, Tony Stewart's home track there that he owns.
Yeehaw.
You're going to defend this title. Do you feel good about it?
Carol.
Yeah, well, we feel good. And like I say, it's a lot of luck involved in the situation. But, yes, our cars are running real good. We got Mopar Motors, and they're running real good. And
Mopar to you.
So I think we got a good shot at it. You know, like I say, we got to have a little bit of luck on our side to make it all happen. But everything's going good for us right now.
You know, and they put this out live over the internet, too, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Can we give that out, Jack?
Let's give out the link here.
Well, no, there's a link where you can listen live to the World 100 on racetalklive.com. And I believe there's another one, but I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one it is. I know Race Talk Live, you can do it.
Racetalklive.com, you'll be able to listen live to the World 100, and that is this weekend. Probably, what, are they going to do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or just Friday, Saturday?
I would say, no, we don't run on Sunday, so it's going to be, I'm going to say probably just Saturday night.
Saturday night?
Yeah.
You know, Earl, you mentioned ARCA a little bit ago. Have you ever got a chance to go over there and run any of the ARCA dirt track races?
No, I never have. I would love to try it one time, you know, just see if I would, you know, fit into that situation, but never have the opportunity yet. And going to meet with Bobby Wednesday morning, kind of see what we'll plan to do, you know, maybe later in this year or early next year, and kind of see what we got planned out. But we'll just kind of wait to see what he's got up his sleeve.
Are you going to get out of that dirt car? Is that what all this up-his-sleeve stuff is?
No, I definitely will continue running the dirt car. And like I say, there's no plans as of yet of what we're going to do. We're just kind of, you know, kicking a ball around just a little bit, kind of see what we might want to do. And we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, you're still young, 35. I'm 41. I'm beyond it. You still got some years that you can make it happen for you if you wanted to do something else. You know, I know you've been running dirt for so long, and you've probably run some asphalt cars sometime or another, haven't you?
Yeah, I run a bunch in the go-karts, and, you know, when Volusia County was asphalt, we run there quite a bit. And was it New Smyrna? Quite a bit. Yeah.
Well, that's great. You know, I love to hear these go-kart guys that do well. You know,
and, I know.
Hey, listen,
cool.
That 103rd complex that I was talking about is a city-owned park with bank corners.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, that was a cool place, wasn't it, Earl?
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, I was there back when I first started, probably every Sunday. My dad would have me out there.
It was a really, you know, it's a shame that more cities don't have something like that, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And till this day, there's a lot of go-kart kids and grown-ups go out there every Saturday and Sunday.
Is it still there?
Oh, yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, that's a great place. You know, Earl, you know, we got to get going here. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to talk with us, you know, and remember, tell people that you were on Inside Florida Racing, and that there's some people down there pumping out racing in Florida. You know, if we could get people to be interested in racing 5 days out of the week, buddy, we'd be right behind them.
And I'll be looking for you at East Bay. Just look for a short, chubby old lady with Tony Stewart stuff on.
I hear you. And I got one thing. I got a big go-kart race I'm promoting, believe it or not.
Go ahead.
Tell us.
It's September 21st through the 23rd in Johnston County, North Carolina.
Ooh.
8,000 to win the pro class.
Now, see,
wow.
That's how you get a bunch of carts show up. You guys will have 300 or 400 carts show up for that money.
Well, I hope so. I hope it turns out good. It'll be my first one, and hopefully it turns out good, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Earl, that sounds great.
Earl, before we let you go, bud, who's the sponsors on your ride, and who's been helping you out?
Well, naturally, we got Lucas Oil, Lifelong Lock, Mopar, Sunoco Race Fuels. And, you know, we've got a lot of product sponsors that's been big. We got WD Enterprises, which is Wayne. My crew, Jason, Matt, and Keith, they're doing an outstanding job. And, of course, you know, Bobby and all the support he gives us and gives us everything we need. And my entire family, everything's good for us.
Well, good deal.
Give the folks your car number out there so they know who to look for.
It's the black and blue number 44.
44.
Mopar to you, Earl.
Hey, are you going to have the car that they ran up there in Eldora? Are you going to be running Bobby's car?
Yeah.
You're not going to let them have that one back, are you?
No. Yeah, we'll have one just like it up there.
All right, buddy. Well, you take it easy, and good luck, man. Don't worry. With your qualifying talent, I'm sure I'm going to read next week that Earl Pearson finished up front. I hope so anyways, buddy.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Earl, and say thank you again to Wayne for me. I appreciate all his help.
Okay, I sure will.
Good luck and be safe.
All right, thank you.
Take it easy.
Bye, Earl.
Bye-bye.
All right, great.
Man,
you know,
what a neat character.
Yeah.
What a neat character.
Another Florida
driver. I love his
driver.
Accent. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Hillbilly Hillbilly 100 was perfect for him.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, it's great to hear these Florida guys, you know, they're doing well. And he's really doing well in his deal, okay? As dirt racing goes, and not just in the state of Florida, but everywhere, that man is
you know who we
ass.
Got coming up next?
Ricky Carmichael. Do we need to
Ricky
do a break?
Ricky Carmichael.
We need to take care of a break real
yes,
quick?
Yes, we are, aren't
Let's
we?
Do it. Let's take a break so Carol can get ready.
Get
he's
ready.
Shaking yeah, his head
so you
no.
can get
no,
ready.
You guys can't go to break yet. I'm not ready.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. I'll do a little commercial for you. Any of you folks out there that are listening, if you got a business and you want to help promote this show and keep it on the air, email Jack, get a hold of Carol, get a hold of somebody, and let us know, and we can do some advertising for your business on here. We'll let you do the commercial. Jason can do it. Carol can do it. We'll all do it.
Stop
Doesn't
me,
matter.
Flag me down, wrap your hands around my throat, say, I want a sponsor on the show, and I'm like, no problem.
We're looking for a show sponsor, which you would be the header for our Inside Florida Racing page on our website, so get with us. Let us know.
Get with it.
I mean, you can call Jason on his cell phone. What's his number?
243-4637, area code 239.
You can call me on my cell phone,
813-785-2327. I'm not
going to
get it right now. It's out in the car.
And you can call me at 941-629-7451, carolwicks@comcast.net.
You know we just shot ourselves in the foot.
not if it'll get us some commercials. I mean, old Carl there, he used to give cards out to become a race car driver, and we all have our
just
story.
Just while
that.
You're saying that, you know Dwayne Dempsey?
Sure.
Super late model driver?
Yeah. Sure.
He gave out at least 4 or 5 huge cartons of T-shirts the other night at the track. I thought that was super nice.
Yep.
I mean, it's great getting signed autographed pictures. That's nice. But the shirts, man, that was really cool.
Well, you know, you do what your sponsors will do for you. You know, I'm sure Dwayne didn't go buy them, but, you know, if our sponsors give us Frisbees, we give them out. If they give us shirts, we give them out. We make sure we sign them, and they're nice. Dempsey is a great guy.
Yes, he is.
When it comes
he's
to...
Quiet,
to a, yeah,
he's quiet, unpretentious, very nice man, and heck
race
of a
driver.
Race driver.
He's a great race car driver.
I agree,
raced
100%.
Raced with him many times. Never had any problems with Dwayne. And old number 7 at Sunshine back in the day, I remember that. Are we going to break now? Looks like we're going to break. We'll be
up
back.
The music.
Rick.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
All right. Yeah. Back with Inside Florida Racing. Bonehead here. Jason over there. We switched seats so he could look on the computer a little bit.
Well, I had to get my list.
Is Ricky Carmichael on the phone? That's all I want to
Ricky, you there?
Hey there. What's happening, guys?
Ricky
Carmichael. Hey, it's my best friend in the whole world.
How are y'all?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, man. Life is really good.
Did you have a good time over the Bahamas?
I did. My wife had a fantastic birthday, 30th birthday, and it's amazing down there. And she had a great time, and I'm glad she did.
And your mom had a wonderful time with your 5-month-old twins.
Yeah. Grandma always has a good time with them.
So we probably got a million things we can talk to you about between motorcycles and race cars.
Oh, my God.
And
we could sit here for hours and talk.
I know you want to talk about late models because that's really what you're into right now, and you've probably talked about motorcycles till you can't stand it anymore. But
you got one more race, right, Ricky? Motorcycles?
One more race, and then a couple like exhibition races, if you will.
After I talked to you up at Columbia, I called my brother out in California. I told you he's a professional motocross dirt racer.
Uh huh.
You should have heard him. He was flipping out.
Oh,
Ricky Carmichael, did you get me a signed autograph? That's my mentor. And then my little nephew was crying because I didn't get one.
Nice.
Hey, Ricky, this is Jason. I just got to ask you, are you going to try to run the Motocross to Nations Championship again?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be, that's the next one. Next one on the list. So I got... let's see here. This weekend, I'm racing. We're going to race Orlando Friday night, super late model. And Friday night racing, Saturday race in New Smyrna and the Limited. Then I think the next week is the Nations race in Maryland.
In Maryland, yeah. I was reading up on that. Man, I'd tell you what, as a kid growing up before I got into stock car racing, I was running Suzuki JR50s around all over the place. And I just got to say, I followed your career intently. And now that I'm into stock car racing, it's like so cool. So I'm going to get all the Ricky Carmichael t-shirts and just go nuts. I already drink Monster Energy drink by the gallon. So.
Cool. Yeah, you know, it's a pretty cool story. And, you know, pretty neat to follow if this goal, you know, we have definitely, if we achieve that goal, and it's obviously to be a cup driver someday. So if we make it, it'll be a great story for sure. And,
if you do in stock cars what you did in motorcycles, you're going to make my Tony look like a sissy.
I hope he...
I would never. I don't think I could ever do that. There's no way. I just want to, if I can make it, you know, make it to that level and just be a contender. That's what I'd like to do. You know, obviously that's the goal as far as being someone like Tony Stewart, like your man there. I mean, the guy is unreal. I love watching him.
Me too.
You know, he just brings so much to racing. And I know some people don't like, no one likes the winner. And I think he brings so much to it. The guy is a racer. And that's just the bottom line. I think he brings a lot to the sport, and he makes it fun. Not only what he's going to say or what he's going to do, but also even when he's behind the wheel, you know.
Ricky. You know what's so funny is all the people that I've talked to about you have all said the same thing. Mike Fritz, all of them. You are so unpretentious, and you don't even realize what a star you are.
No. You know, it's funny. It's like Fritz is like, he loves my, you know, what I've done on the motorcycles. He's like, man, you need to go out and do this and do that. I'm like, man, I'm, you know, as great as motorcycle racing has been to me, I just want to do my car thing. I am so engulfed in that and want to do good for them, you know, like with Mike and Shane and.
Something that you're not getting away from, though, Ricky, is the kids. The kids are in the super late models, just like they were on those motorcycles when you got out of it, and you know, are getting out of it. What do you think about these young kids and how fast they can drive these cars?
You know, it's so amazing at the level that we're at. You know, the low, I'll call it local pro, if you will, and it's so amazing how fast they are and how talented they are.
Right.
It's really cutthroat. You know, it really is. But I can tell you this much. I really, when I go do these races and I'm just, you know, around the racetrack with everyone, I love the atmosphere. I miss those days of motorcycle racing. So to kind of relive that situation again and be in the position that I'm in, it's been really fun. Amongst some great young talent, it's really amazing to see the young drivers out there. I get a kick out of it. I love to see, you know, younger kids, you know, out there and instead of doing other things that they could be doing out there, you know, trying to make the best of their life.
Well, Ricky, you know, you're still a pretty young guy yourself. You're 27, 28 years old.
27, yeah.
27, and you know, you've had a 12-year, I think it's 12-year span from, I think, dating back to 96, 97 until now, and just had a superb career in the motocross, motorcycle racing. How did it come about that you decided you were, what was the deciding factor to jump over and start running stock cars?
Well, it all started basically when I was about 12 years old, 13 years old. We used to cruise around to all these amateur races, my family and Clint Boyer's family. He had two other brothers, one older than him and one younger than him.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's how it started. And then Clint, I was always really, really close with him compared to his other two brothers. And we always used to park next to each other at the big races. We'd go to his house in Kansas before a big amateur race we had in Oklahoma. And he just decided he was going to quit when he was 14 and, you know, start racing local dirt car races. And, you know, the next thing you know, I mean, my mom's going out to watch him when I had an off week in a motorcycle racing. And, you know, he's starting to win the state championship, and you know, and then he gets a ride with RCR. So I got hurt in 04 and had to sit out the Supercross season, and I went to watch him in the Busch race at 04 at Daytona, and met Casey Kane and stuff at through a mutual sponsor of ours, actually Oakley, and got to become really good friends with him, and he hooked me up basically with a test with Everingham in their late model division, and that's kind of how it got going. So it all really originated from being, you know, good friends and great family friend of Clint Boyer, and one thing led to another, and just what the, you know, with what I've accomplished in motorcycle racing, the sport has given me a great name, and obviously, you know, I have, you know, I have some ability to bring some sponsors, and that's, you know, obviously that helps out the situation, you know, the teams like that. So if I have some ability and can be taught, and I have the other things, then it's pretty good.
You know, there's so many questions we can ask you, because everything right now, just in the past few months or so, has just really just gone out of control in a good way. I mean, you were with you know, you got Mark Martin helping you out with Bobby Jin Motorsports, and now you guys have teamed up with Teresa Earnhardt and DEI. I mean, how that's amazing right there. I mean, you're going, I mean, you can't go any higher.
No, you know, it has been a crazy ride. There's to say the least. You know, I think it's a great opportunity. It's only going to be better, you know, better for everyone, and has the potential to be better for me as well. You know, I'm a little, you know, much further down the totem pole, you know, to DEI than say, you know, than obviously Mark and the younger guys or the other guys coming up. So, you know, I my stuff is still kind of getting sorted out, but it has been for the better so far.
This is your second race in the late model car?
Yeah, this will be my second race this weekend.
First one kind of hurt you, huh?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Considering the problems we had. I mean, we qualified sixth, and then...
which isn't bad at all.
No, it's not bad. That was the first time I'd ever driven that car. It was when we lined up for practice. And, you know, it was good. You know, we qualified. Actually, what's crazy is I qualified better for that Sunoco, you know, series race and the super late models there. I qualified fourth for that race. I could not believe it against some good guys. And I thought I was going to qualify a little better, actually. That just shows you how close this racing is. And we qualified good. And actually, we had a good... I think we would have gotten second place. I really do. I don't think we had what it took to beat the two car, but... my radio kept messing up, actually kept coming unhooked, and I didn't want to be out there hurting anybody, you know, hurting anyone else, number one, and then secondly myself, you know, so I pulled in and we get it right, and then it'd come unhooked again, and I'd have to pull in again, and we ended up 12th or 14th, something like that, out of 31 cars, and we wrecked, and I think my last two races have just been, you know, I've been an innocent bystander. You know, I really learned what it's like to be, you know, be collected in something that I really didn't have, you know, much choice about. And it's, you know, that's been the frustrating thing for me. You know, is one thing I've learned in motorcycles is to have so much patience, and you really don't see that too much in the, you know, the.
This is a night racing. This is a whole new ball game.
Things happen so fast on the short tracks. You know, Ricky, this is Rob. I race late models, super late models, and I can feel right with what you're going through with these cars, because they're so heavy and they have so much power, you know, and they're so fast.
Yeah.
And you've got all these guys that are trying to get to the front right at the beginning. And if you're running these 100 lap races, you know, the best thing to do is just hang back a little bit, and they usually crash themselves out.
Absolutely. Like at the limited race. You know,
they're really bad at it.
Like, okay, I was, you know, good. We got in single file, and then we had a caution. I was like, damn, well, we're gonna have to go double file again. So we went double. And then
they put you on the outside, didn't they?
We got in a single file, and then I had a guy coming on the inside. Fritz is all inside. I'm like, okay, let off a little bit. And then I get some guy going wide open around the outside of it, trying to make it three wide. I'm like, come on, guys. You know, let it get. You know, I think once you can get single file, then it's good. Then you can really, you know, then you can do your work, if you will. And my biggest thing is, I know a lot of people, you know, obviously are jealous of the opportunity I have and things around me, but I really, really just want everyone to know that I respect what they do, and I'm not out there to, you know, to tear up anybody or ruin their night. I'm just trying to take care of myself out there. Much I ain't even worried about anybody else. I'm just trying to do the best that I can do and stay out of harm's way. And man, we just been having some bad luck the last two races. I was doing better in my first couple races.
Me and Jason are coming up there to see you this week, so you're going to have some good luck coming up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can tell
Me
you
too.
I can tell you this much: the limited is a lot easier to drive than the super late, but I like the super late model just because it takes a little bit more control.
Well, I want you to come down here, Ricky, and race on the 15th at the Charlotte County Motorsports Park. I'll be racing in that race.
All
it's
right.
a super late model race. You know, I don't know that any other big classes, big races are running throughout the state that day, but it'll be a good one with some good competition there and guys that would love to. We'd love to race with you. We're not going to race you any different than any other number out there. You're just a number when you're out
that's
there.
That's the biggest thing that I want everyone to do, you know. Man, I'm just a normal guy and got a lot of respect for you and, you know, everybody out there. I ain't claiming anything, you know what I mean? And I think that's one good reason I've had such a warm welcome is, hey, I'm just another guy. Yeah, I got a great opportunity, but I know it's only because of, you know, what I've done in motocross.
Which you did a lot. And, son, I remember when you was a kid. I'm from Zephyr Hills, Florida.
Yeah.
It's right down the street from Old Dade City Raceway. Where you
were down there.
That's right. You cut a lot of teeth and broke some bones out there when you were young. So those were the days, as you were talking about. You know, when you go to the racetrack now, you feel like it was those days in Dade City because, you know, in actuality, that's when you really love racing. I'm sure the business has really put a bad taste in your mouth.
It has. You know, that's the part that I don't like, you know, that's, you know, like in the motorcycle industry, you know, the guys, you know, when I've left Honda or left Kawasaki, you know, the guys that are in the shop that are the day-to-day work, those are the guys that I'm so bummed out for because upstairs, you know, with the Japanese and the head honchos, it's such a big business to them, and that really takes the fun out of it. And, you know, the Dade City days and, you know, the car racing I'm doing now, that's why you do it, man. You do it because you start doing it because you like to do it. And the business part definitely, it puts a bad taste in your mouth. But, you know, it's...
But Monster Energy Drink doesn't. I love it.
I'll tell you too, Ricky. I think it's not always about how great of a racer you are. Because face it, there's a lot of really good motorcycle racers. Yeah. But it's your attitude and the way you treat people and the way people look up to you. I think you've earned your reputation in a big way.
Absolutely. Thanks. And I strive on that. You know, I think, you know, you have to really respect your peers and your competition. And at the same time, you know, everything comes around. So you go out there and you go making enemies, then one day you're going to need to get by somebody out there, and they're going to be like, you know what? You remember that time when he spun me out? Well, forget him. I'm going to hog up the track. Where I've had the same attitude in motorcycle racing. You know, you catch more bees with honey, and that's just the way I was raised, and that's my nature. As competitive as I am, I'm actually a soft-hearted person.
Well, you're in the right sport for being competitive. There's no doubt the competition that you're realizing down here. I'm sure that's why Mark and them have you racing down here in Florida, super late models, because it's always been tough. There's hard-nosed racers down here with plenty of money to win $3,000. They throw a lot at it, don't they?
I mean, you know what is amazing to me? Yeah, that number one, that's why I'm down here. I think that, you know, from what I've been told and just just from what I've seen,
experience,
this is the most competitive late model racing in the country.
Wow. You know what, Ricky? We just came full circle on that. We were discussing a few weeks ago with Don Nerone that we were just talking about it earlier tonight, too, that a lot of the racers down here in Florida are a totally different breed than the ones up north, and they are just so much more, I wouldn't want to say passionate about it, but so much more aggressive.
We only do it once a week.
Yeah. But we get to race all year long down here.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I tell you, so that's why they had me down here. And then
plus it's hot.
Down here we got super late, and they don't have that up Charlotte. And plus, it's so much easier for me down here, you know, being a Florida native, of course.
Where are you living at now?
I'm pretty proud about that. I'm from Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's just easy to get down there and do some racing. But it's you guys, what I can't believe is at this local level, how many big rigs are. I mean, that blows my mind, man.
Yeah, it blows mine. It always has.
We used to.
Dollars being spent, man. I mean, when I was just growing up, motorcycle race. I mean, we'd come throw the motorcycle in the back of the truck, get with it, you know.
Yeah, well, it used to be that way here too. They had open trailers, you know, and now I say that my trailer, my car, the truck I pull it with, and everything isn't worth some of the toolboxes that they pull out of some of these big rigs, you know. But it's all in what you love, you know. For me, like I said, I'm 41. My days forever being anything more than a local race car driver are over, and I've had some good races in the state of Florida, you know, and running some of the series. And I'm into the kids. I'm into the whole deal of promoting racing, and I'm fixing to have a child myself, and you having twins. I guarantee you those kids have changed your whole perspective of your life.
Oh, man, it has been a life-changing experience, all for the better. Let me tell you, you know, the twins are good, but it's a lot of work.
It's double trouble. Now, Jason, he's got one, too, so he could understand.
I've got two kids. I got
twins,
one. I got no. Well, I'm married to a twin, so.
That's right. He is. A double trouble.
I told Ricky I wish I had. I said, oh, my goodness, I wanted twins so bad. He said, no, you didn't.
No, it sounds cool and fun.
Until 3 o'clock in the morning, right?
No, it's two of everything.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a price to pay. When it really hit home is when we were putting together a crib, and you got it done, and it took about 4 hours to do the one crib, and you're like, damn, I got to put together
I got to put the other one.
Are they
together.
Boys or girls?
A boy, girl.
A boy, girl.
Yeah, that's not true.
I should have bought a lotto ticket.
Well, Ricky, do you think it's feasible that you can come down on the 15th? Is it in your schedule possibility and run that super late model race down here in Ponte Gorda?
Yeah, you know, I actually Fritz had made my schedule up and emailed it to me the other day. It may be in there. I know I'm.
I doubt it because it's not a USA type deal.
Cycle race. I'm racing my race car, so.
Good. That's too cool. Well, you go ahead and tell Fritz that on the 15th you want to go to Charlotte County Motorsports Park. See, I'm sure you're running those fast car things, and it wouldn't be a fast car thing, so it may not be on your schedule, but it's going to be a big race. There'll be some big-name people there. I'm sure Wayne Anderson will be there.
Okay.
If you can run against Wayne Anderson, you're going to learn something. And old bonehead Rob Elting, I'll be there. You won't learn anything from me except for how to keep your car under you for the whole race.
And you can bet I'm going to be calling Mike Fritz by tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah, you better call Fritz.
I'm going to. And Rickles up in
around there.
The announcer up at DeSoto made me ask you if you're going to be going to DeSoto anytime.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well,
I know is
you go where they want you to race.
That's right. I'm just following orders, if you will.
And I'm glad to see, Ricky, you know what? You're going to learn a lot in running these super late models, there's no doubt. And when you go get behind the wheel of one of those Busch cars, they're going to be like driving a Cadillac after you've been down here driving these cars.
That's what Fritz always says, and I keep telling Fritz, I said, are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure? Because these supers are a handful.
Listen, Mike Fritz. If there's a guy that you can mentor from, that boy right there has won many races, and he can drive the heck out of a race car. He knows how to get them set up, knows how to get them right for you, you know, and that's important. I'm sure that your feedback in racing cars as opposed to feedback when you're racing motorcycles is so different, you know. And but what is probably isn't different is you've got a good crew chief probably just like you used to in motorcycles.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing. I've always been fortunate. I've had some great mechanics.
Yes.
I've only had two in my whole professional career, and both of them have been the best. And as you guys know, they're a premium, you know, just like in car racing. You got to have somebody that's know what they're doing. But at the same time, you know, you can only make the car as good as, you know, the driver
can tell them what's wrong.
The rider tells you what it's doing, you know.
Are you going to be able to make it to the Cecil Williams Memorial for the next race, the October one?
No, I'll be in Vegas that weekend.
Oh.
I got a motorcycle race in Vegas. I'm so bummed out. I felt
I know. That was really... The only thing good about it was getting to talk to you, actually.
Hey, Ricky, if you ever go back to that racetrack, okay, at that racetrack, just remember, drive her on in the corners harder than what your brain tells you to, because you're going to love racing at Lake City's racetrack.
Yeah, I like Lake City, actually. It's not, yeah. I like there. I like Orlando, New Smyrna. It's so new to me, you know. For like you guys are saying, man, how could you like those places?
No, those are great places. All of our tracks are good. We don't have that many of them, Ricky. That's the thing. You know, in the state of Florida, Jack, what do we got, 10 racetracks maybe? You know, asphalt racetracks? Probably not even that. You know, what we need, Ricky, is we need you to go ahead and purchase one of them. So we'll have one for a while.
There you go.
You know, because that's the problem, Ricky, seriously. The problem in the state of Florida is that there's not going to be any racetracks here in 10 years if guys that don't have the money to buy them and leave them a racetrack don't come down here and do it. Because what they do is they buy them and they turn them into a housing project. Or like in Clearwater. Sunshine Speedway, you know of that. That racetrack still sits there, Ricky, with nothing going on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we could call it the Ricky Carmichael Sunshine Speedway.
Oh, I bet that's something he's never had.
We'll set up a nursery.
Hey, Ricky, we got a new idea. We got a new idea for you, Ricky.
What's that?
How about you own the racetrack? I bet you somebody's come already to you and said something stupid like that, haven't they?
No, they haven't, actually. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
It only takes a few million down here in Florida. I bet you for $4 million, you could go buy Sappercone's track over there. Friday.
Yeah, go buy DeSoto.
DeSoto.
Cycles for dang 10 more years to do that.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully you save some of that money.
I'm sorry, that's so funny. I'm getting out of the game, man.
Yeah, Ricky.
I'm hoping I'm living a long time. I want to take care of my kids and my family.
Yeah, you need a million for each kid.
Ricky, you said something earlier, probably one of the key words in racing, and that was respect.
Yeah.
And you have got a mentor right now with you that is probably, if not the absolutely most respected driver, I'd have to say, in the world right now.
Mark Martin.
One of the best, Mark Martin. How did you come to meet Mark? What, did you get to meet him before you started the whole racing thing?
No. You know, as crazy as I did my deal with Gent, and then, I mean, you know, as I did sign with them, you know, they told me they're going to be hiring Mark, and they told me that I was going to be using his equipment and this and that, and that was just icing on the cake. I couldn't believe it. The guy is a great mentor, as you guys know. And not just besides that, he's just a great, great person. I really enjoy talking to him. You know, I don't talk to him as much as people would think because he's so busy, you know, and I know his time is precious. So I don't bug him unless I really need something or need some advice. And, you know, it's just amazing. And I didn't know anything about it until Jay Fry had told me that he was coming on board, and you know, he was going to kind of take me under his wing and grow me and develop me and to try to be a stock car racer. And what a guy to help me do that.
Ricky, I wanted to tell you, we've got a special guest inside the studio with us who's like one of your number one fans. This guy won a raffle that we had on our website. We had a raffle, and he paid like $300 for a whole bunch of raffle tickets to be the winner. And he's in the studio with us today, and I'm going to let him get on here and talk to you a little bit. He's like telling us all about all your races. He knows every race that you've ever won or whatever. So here he is. What's your name?
Mike.
Here's Mike, Ricky.
Okay.
How you doing, Ricky?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good, man. Good.
Just a few questions for you. When you get into this four-wheel deal, you're still going to once in a while hit two wheels or what?
Yeah, I'd like to. You know, the only thing about it, what makes it tough is, as you know, man, it's the pace is so fast. And when you're not riding all the time, man, you lose that little, you know, that split-second reaction time that you need. And I would love to, you know, maybe come back and do some things, you know, race some some fun events, but it's just, but you have to look at reality sometimes and know that, you know, hey man, your better day is gone, and you know, you just need to hang it up. But I'm always going to ride. There's no doubt about it.
It's better to do one thing good than two things halfway.
That's right. Absolutely. And really, man, to tell you, Mike, I mean, my heart right now is really in car racing. You know, I got one shot to do this, and as you guys know, you have to put 110% into it, and I can't do both at 85-90%. I got to do one or the other.
Exactly.
Oh, sure.
You know, Mike walked in here tonight, Ricky. You need to tell him how to take care of the motorcycle burns on the back of his leg.
He's got scars all over him.
Those things are dangerous, man. You got to be careful, bad boys.
They're hot.
Yeah, they are hot.
He walked in here tonight, and I'm like, man, what happened to your leg? And he goes, motorcycle. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, they're fun, but they'll get you sometimes.
You know, Ricky, this is, you know, this is just, oh, I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead. I interrupted.
Actually, the truth is we need to stop and take a break. Ricky, I can't tell you how happy I am that you came on the show tonight. Please thank your mom and Scott and everybody for helping me get you here. And yeah. Me and Jason will be there at Orlando Speedway to see you this Friday night.
And I'll be waiting for you, Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy.
We'll be waiting for you down Ricky. At Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
All right.
15th.
I just want to say I appreciate it. And you guys have no idea how thankful I am of the warm welcome you guys have given me. And, you know, I look forward to having a good time with you guys. And obviously, I appreciate the opportunity you give me for being on the show. It's been a pleasure. And, anytime, man, anytime.
Well, you know you're my best friend, so.
All right.
Yeah, you've been a great guest, you know, yes. And you're a great spokesman for the sport, you know, and it's nice to see that. I really like to see the fact that these guys that are behind you have sent you here to Florida, you know, to race with some of these guys here. And I'd really get a kick out of racing with you if you come down. And like I said, Mike Fritz, you know, I've raced many times with him. I drive the car number 27. He used to drive the number 27 many yep. times. He may still, you know, I don't know. But what's your car number?
My car number is 4.
Number 4. And you're yeah. a monster sponsor.
Monster.
Got to keep her alive.
Yeah, yep. Well, that's.
Absolutely.
So, that's all I've got to say. I just want to see him. If I can see you at Charlotte County Motorsports Park on the 15th, I'd be happy. And we'll really make you feel at home here. I think you'll have a
you
good time.
You can count on that.
You know, Ricky, me and Carol's going to come up and see you this Friday. And I'm really excited about that as somebody that's followed your career pretty close. And I just got to say that I've enjoyed over the years watching your race. And I'm proud of you, and congratulations, and good luck to you.
I appreciate it, man. You guys have a great evening, and we'll see you Friday night.
All right.
Thanks
Take
so
it
much,
easy,
Ricky.
Okay, bye.
Good night.
Ricky Carmichael. Oh, I can't
Another great interview.
It's going to be great. We got to go to break.
We got
to
take a break.
When we come back, I'm going to read off his stats when we come back.
Yeah.
It's Inside Florida Racing.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jim Dygert from Keels and Wheels Magazine. You're listening to Real Racing USA.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com. The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA.
Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brake man. The brake man has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brake man are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to go The Brakeman. On the web at TheBrakeman.com.
Live!
It's Inside Florida Racing.
And we're live.
Yes, we are live. Just got off the phone with Ricky Carmichael. Real quick, for most of you people that don't know, 1997 AMA 125 National Champion, 98 AMA 125 East Coast Champion, also the 98, 99, 2000, got three different ones in 2000, four different ones in 2001. And the list goes on, and the only rider to score a perfect season, 2002 and 2004 AMA National, and twice Team USA winner of the Motocross de Nations Championship, which is getting ready to go run up in Maryland. One of the pretty amazing resume there for Ricky Carmichael.
True, you're not kidding.
And another person, another superstar, got on the phone with us right now, Mr. Jason Lowe. How you doing, Jason?
Good evening. How are y'all?
Well, not too bad. How you been?
Well, after putting all that in front of Ricky Carmichael, who they call the greatest of all time, kind of wondering why y'all are talking to me, but I'll play along. So, yeah, I'm doing good, and thanks for having me.
Well, don't sell yourself
you
short, my friend.
Yes, sir.
You're a Florida racer. That's why you're on here. All Florida racers are on Inside Florida Racing.
With one heck of a resume, I have to say.
Well, I really enjoy racing, and I've had some hard times, and I just really appreciate getting the chance to do it, and I just really enjoy being involved with the sport, and I feel blessed to be able to take part in it.
We feel blessed that we still have you here to watch racing. Seems like you've had some pretty tough times in back of you.
Well, you know, about 10 years ago, I had a pretty bad head injury and had nothing to do with racing. I was riding a bicycle in the neighborhood I grew up in, and they were doing some work on the street. It was after dark, and they had left a drain off, the cover off the drain, and as Ricky would say, I endoed into it. I, you know, just rode right into it. And 24 years old, wasn't wearing a helmet, which, shame on me. But spent about 3 years of my life trying to get my thinking straight, so to speak. I didn't do any racing during that time, but contrary to what the doctor said, I was able to come back, and I've actually had some pretty good results since then, and I'm glad that it was able to work out that way. Why I was doing my treatment with the neurologist and with the other doctors who were involved, I saw some children who were younger than myself who weren't as fortunate, and it really kind of put me in my place that I'd already been given a whole lot, and after that, everything was kind of gravy, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. You know, when did you have your accident? What year was that? It was before 2000.
It was 1997.
97. When did you actually start racing? How old were you?
Well, I heard y'all talking about 103rd Street earlier, which was later on in Jacksonville. I started racing go-karts when I was four. It wasn't really in an organized league. We had three kids in the neighborhood who had carts, and we had really hyped up parents who made this little like track on the dirt lot where nobody lived and kind of like sticked us on each other. And the best part was, what really ended up happening was the kids would end up running into the parents at some point because the parents were on the sidelines. it was crazy. And by the time I was eight, we were go-karting for real. By the time I was 12, my father and brother were racing SCCA, which was a road racing pavement, you know, road course type of stuff. And I actually worked on their cars a whole bunch. In 1986, when I was 16, I had a Dodge 400. It was like a K car.
Right.
A little go-kart trailer behind it. And I would leave St. Augustine High School every day when we got out of school at 3 o'clock. And I would drive to 103rd Street in Jacksonville, which was the, you know, the county-owned go-kart track y'all were talking about.
All right.
And I'd run there till dark or until they'd kick me out, and did a bunch more sports car stuff between 18 and 21, and was really successful, but didn't have the funds to go further, and kind of in disgust, and wasn't really seeing eye to eye with my dad and my brother at the time. I built a hobby stock car in 1993 and went dirt track racing, and I've pretty much been there since, more or less.
Yeah, I see that you you used to run at Roebling Road in Savannah and Moroso Motorsports Park in West Palm Beach, which is no longer a track anymore. I remember those in the go-kart racing days when I was running there at 103rd Complex. We'd make those races with Bob Thompson. You ran those with SECA Racing, I see.
Yeah, had a really good time in Savannah at Roebling Road. Had some success there. I actually won my first race ever at Moroso in West Palm Beach in the rain. Uh-huh. In 1990 was my first sports car win.
I remember running a go-kart race there in the rain. They actually let us run in the rain. They said it would be even for everybody. And, you know, this straightaway, you go 130 miles an hour down the straightaway.
Wow.
Yeah, that track was really bumpy. It was in bad shape. They needed to close it. They didn't need to get rid of it, but, you know, somebody needed to fix it up, I guess.
You know, Jason.
Go ahead.
I was talking to Carol earlier, and then you said it again. You didn't understand why that you were on a lineup of list of people to come on the radio show tonight. And this is one of the things. You had such a great career before your accident, and then you had your rehab. And I'm sitting here looking through it. You returned to racing in 2000 at St. Augustine Speedway, finished third in the ARA points in Florida, third at the St. Augustine Speedway, and 21st in the nation. And this is, I mean, that's impressive. After coming back from your accident, that is absolutely impressive. And then from there on, you've done nothing but go upward. It's so impressive. 2002 track champion at Putnam and the 2005 track champion. And the 2006 track champion. I mean, and just so many wins.
I really enjoy the dirt. Don't get me wrong, because I started my career on pavement, and dirt was kind of an afterthought. It just kind of came about to, after I ran some road course things and had success, I didn't have the sponsorship dollars to go further. and it really left a bad taste in my mouth. So the dirt car was almost my personal rebellion against the system, and it was just so much fun. I think if you have a fifth-place car on pavement, if I'm driving it, I'm probably going to finish fifth. On dirt, if you have a fifth-place car and you're really, really determined, a lot of times you can do something with it because the surface changes and your competitors' cars change, and there's just so much more variance on dirt. It is really what attracted me to it because, honestly, I'm not very good at setting up cars. And I set my own cars up, and so on pavement a lot of times I would either underthink myself or outthink myself, and I had some success, but a lot of times after the race I wasn't real pleased, not just with my driving, but with the car. And there's just something about dirt where it's the whole sideways yeehaw, and it's just fun. I mean, it just and not that racing on pavement's not fun, because I would race a big wheel around my neighborhood if that's all there was to it. If there was a track in the middle of the woods and no one was watching, I would want to drive around and go fast. I just love it.
I want to go fast. I just want to go fast.
Mama, I'm going fast. You know, I'm sitting here looking over some of your bio. I'm looking the 2000.
It's amazing.
It really is, especially with what you went through. We were talking about it earlier tonight, and I'm like, you know, you're going to have to get a movie made about it. Because it's just amazing. Because
that's exactly what he said. They need to make a movie.
They really, really do. I mean, you know,
I'm not sure. Danny DeVito was available.
I'll tell you what, Jason. If you were in a room with Ricky Carmichael and Earl Pearson, nobody would know who was more famous than the other. Because you're all
they'd
just
be impressed.
Real. They would. They'd be so proud of you. And believe me, some people just have more opportunities than others.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Rob, listen.
Hey, don't think that I'm crying Argentina or anything. I'm so happy where I'm at right now. I'm having so much fun.
You're getting married soon.
I'm getting married in October, and I met the woman that I'm marrying 2 years ago at one of the dirt tracks I was racing at. So if all this stuff hadn't happened, I wouldn't be where I am now, and I'm just, you don't know how, I've got a big smile on my face right now just thinking about it.
So awesome. What's your car number?
My car number is 4.
Okay, so we had a 44 and 2 4s tonight. See why you're on
here?
Wow. It's the night of 4s, and we didn't even plan that.
No, we didn't.
I didn't even
weird?
Think of it.
44 and Ricky Carmichael's 4, and now he's number 4.
Looky there.
Wow.
444.
See, there was a reason. I want you to hear this, Rob. I want you to hear this. 2005 track champion at Putnam County Speedway. 22 modified races, 11 feature wins, 15 top 5, 16 heat race wins in 19 races. Voted Putnam County Driver of the Year 2005 track champion.
What's he, a cheater? He must be a cheater, all that winning.
No, man. That right there is impressive.
What'd you race this year? Modifieds?
I'm still racing dirt modifieds. We're 14 races into the season at Putnam County. We've had a lot of rain out.
Well, the music means we got to get going.
No, it doesn't. Oh. Jack's messing with
you. I thought he was doing the get going. I thought he was doing the get going music.
I want to know where he's racing, when he's racing.
You said, Jack, Rob said cheating, so he had to play your cheating heart.
Oh, it was your cheating heart. tell us where you're racing at and where you're at and your points and all that.
Currently leading the points at Putnam County. We've got several more races to go. We have a 50-lap feature race coming up this coming weekend. I believe we've got 7 more races for the year. Like I said, we've already done 14 of them. We've got 6 feature wins so far. A lot of good racers I'm racing against. Just real fortunate. I mean, I get a lot of good breaks sometimes, it seems like. We don't start up front very often, but we just, you know, keep plugging and keep trying, and just, you know, we have a good time at it.
Let the folks hear some of your sponsors out there that have been helping you out for all these wins that you got.
Well, Prosperity Bank, which is a local bank in North Florida, they're my primary sponsor, and without them, I couldn't do what I do, and I'm very grateful they support me. There's a local sports bar called The End Zone that also is supporting me. I heard y'all talking about the safety aspect earlier, and SafeQuip Driving Suits has been a longtime sponsor of mine, and they make some very high-quality fire suits, and I'm proud to have them behind me. And David Thorne Racing Engines, called Powered by Thorne. He does all my motor work, and I couldn't be where I'm at without him behind me, because there's just no way possible. So I'm grateful to all those folks for helping me out.
Well, listen, Jason, we're going to have to move on. It's getting close to the hour here, and we got Travis Cope coming on. I want to thank you so much for your time and wish you the best of everything in your racing career, and hope to see you soon.
Yeah, good luck with the points over there in Putnam. I hope you take it this year and keep those wheels on the ground.
Hey, thank you all very much for having me, and have a good night.
Thank you,
right,
Jason.
You
good luck,
care,
and have a wonderful wedding.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Too cool, man. Too cool.
Another one getting married. Man,
they ain't stupid. Behind every good man's an awesome woman.
He needs to.
I know that.
Jason, if you're still listening, man, hold your head up. You have nothing to slouch about.
I don't think he was slouching.
He wasn't slouching.
I think
he's
He's loving life right now.
Driver, it's like I said earlier, it doesn't matter if you race NASCAR. It doesn't matter if you race super late models in the state of Florida or modified or go-karts. If you're out there racing, you are a professional race car driver, and he is definitely a professional race car driver. I was talking about 2005 a minute ago, 2006, 18 modified races at Putnam, 6 feature wins, 13 top 5, 7 heat race wins, and he still took the championship.
He was a man with goals, and folks, we always try to tell you, whether you're a youngster out there or whether you're an oldster, okay, if you set a goal for doing things and you work at that goal, you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish. And right there is a pure fact to even when you're down and you have injuries, that you can come back from them. And if you work at it hard and let people out there know how hard you want to do it, you can attain the sponsorship to do this kind of stuff, you know. And we all know that it takes big money to do it and the sponsors to do it. We're going to take a break.
Big money.
We're going to take a break.
We're
going to
take a break,
Travis,
and we're coming
Cope back
with Travis Cope.
No break.
No break?
No break.
Good.
Well, then we'll just...
Folks, we want to take a break with your business. Give us a call or email us here at the show, and let us know if you want to advertise on Inside Florida Racing.
If you need to get a hold of one of us, you can give me a call, area code 239-243-4637. That's my cell phone number. It's on all the time. Leave a message if I don't answer it, and I'll get back to you. It's a great way to get your business noticed. Also, this is broadcast worldwide. This isn't just in the state of Florida. If you are a major business down here that sends their equipment or their product all over the world, you can tell them that they can hear about your product right here on Inside Florida Racing. And once again, this is a worldwide broadcast.
Over 2,500 downloads a week.
Yep. And the other thing that's amazing, you kind of sit and figure, you know, how, oh, we feel so small. This is Inside Florida Racing. It might be Inside Florida Racing, but everybody outside of Florida is listening.
Yeah, they're listening and they're enjoying it, you know, and all we're trying to do is just get out what's going on in Florida in racing and try to, familiarize some of these drivers with some of the folks out there that are going to see them, because it's always talked about it before. The fans are on the other side of the fence, and they think one way about the drivers. And I think once we get them on the show, like Ricky Carmichael, okay, how down to earth is Ricky Carmichael? Here's a guy who, trust me, he's got enough money to go buy one of them racetracks if you want. Okay, he's loaded, and you know, he puts on his pants the same way as we do. And when you talk to him, you get that feeling. Okay, he's not trying to say I'm Ricky Carmichael. He's saying I'm Ricky Carmichael. I want to learn how to race cars just like you guys do. And I'm not coming there to try to get in your way. I want to learn. And I have more respect for a guy like him that would get in a late model and come down here. Because it's a struggle to race these late models. Yep. It's nothing like racing, you know, a Busch car or something where you show up and it's all prima donna. You got to work on it down here. And it's hot. and there's nobody really cares about the outcome, you know, what goes on. So here he's working at learning how to actual drive. And I think it's really going to show when he gets into cars in the future.
You know, it's like you think about how on the ball are the people from Ginn Motorsports. I mean, you know, bringing him down here, you're going to go race Florida. And once again, it comes back to the whole deal of the aggressiveness of the drivers in Florida compared to the drivers outside.
I think that's huge. It's always been that way. That's why when you really have big late model racers, late model races in the state of Florida, you see these guys that come in from out of state. They don't set the world on fire when they come down here and get in one of these races against, you know, Anderson or Cope or any of these guys that have raced over the years. You know, it's a struggle for them every time. It's, take it from a guy that's been there, it's a struggle.
Would you guys like to say hello to Travis Cope, winner of the third leg of the Triple Crown?
Travis! What's up, buddy?
This is it. How about yourself?
Oh, man. Let me tell you, you put it on him the other night. That was a hell of a race. Actually, you raced in both of them, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
You know, we were talking about struggles just there for a second. Everybody was struggling to catch you this weekend, weren't they?
Yeah, that was the thing.
Well, you're not kidding. This kid was up against some of the best racers in the whole state of Florida, and he was hauling butt.
Yeah.
And I think you had a real good shot at winning the second race, too, if you didn't have that problem there, like crashing.
Yeah, that's what we were hoping for, but unfortunately it didn't happen. But at least we got one.
You got it good, too.
Yep,
so how did you – well, this is stupid. You come from one of the most famous racing families in the state of Florida.
Slightly, yes. They are a little bit famous.
Your dad owns Bronson, Mike Cope, your Uncle Jimmy. We're all crazy about Jimmy.
I was just watching a race from, like, the late 80s, early 90s with Jimmy.
So yeah, you got good racing stock in your blood.
Yeah, they've been around for a while.
So do you actually listen to things that they tell you? You just go out and kind of listen a little bit and go out there and kind of take it your own way?
No, I definitely listen to everything they got to say. There's nothing that I you know, take for granted either. It's I've grown up watching them and just being around it, and I know how I really know how good they are, so I take in everything they say. You know, like everything helps.
Yeah, it would be smart because they definitely were a couple of good racers. In local type racing here, Jimmy and Mike did a lot of racing there at Sunshine Speedway, but your dad, he actually raced all over the place there and running the ASA stuff back when they had those, you know, motor rules and stuff like that. But, yeah, you obviously picked up some ways of traveling from your dad. He knows about traveling around and racing and what's involved with that. Talk about that a little bit. Is it a struggle for you to actually go to all these races, or do you have a regular job too, or you just race?
My dad actually, he as well as the ASA stuff, he actually did NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. He was in Busch Series for a while, but so he's pretty versed, well versed in traveling. So we local raced for a while, for two years it was, or it is, and we decided that this ASA deal would be good for us, and give us a chance to travel, because we need to go to better tracks, not better tracks, but more tracks, just get me more experience and stuff. And my dad also really wanted to get back on the road. And but yeah, we've loved it so far. We've only done, I'd say, three races out of state, but maybe two, Birmingham and Orange County.
A lot of people complain about the young guns coming up that they don't really know what it's all about, but I talked to your dad the other night, and he said you work really, really hard in the garage with him, and you really put your blood, sweat, and tears into your racing career.
Oh yeah, for sure. We and that's the other question, that we do have other people's cars to work on every day. That's my job. We as well as my stuff. We work on other people's equipment, and I, you know, fabricate. I can pretty much do anything you want me to on a race car with the help from my dad, and yeah, that's what we do every day. It's a lot of fun working with him in the shop, and as well as racing. That's all he did all his life, so he knows all about that too.
How old are you now, Travis?
I'm 19.
Holy smokes, I've got all that going for you.
Go ahead.
Hey Travis, so you've graduated already. What was it like being in school and racing? I mean, you know, with all the other kids and everything, and at the time when you were in school, you know, you have the weekend. Did you guys go travel anywhere to go race, and then you had to come back and tell all your friends how you did?
Oh yeah, I mean, while I was in school, we traveled and raced. But to tell you the truth, I kind of kept it personal, you know, because it's a big deal to me. But I never thought it would be to anybody else. So I was kind of a quiet kid in school, and I don't know. It's just one of those things. I didn't I really didn't want people knowing what I did, you know, and because to the outsider, you're racing a car is just going around in circles, and it's easier just not to tell them about it than to try to explain actually how tough it is sometimes. So that's I kind of kept it to myself.
Yeah, I think people are getting more educated these days.
Yeah,
what
I
racing's
think so.
All about. Do you guys live out there in Bronson?
Yes, we work and live in Bronson. We also have a house in Wichita, which that's where we're at now. And,
yeah.
We come back here every other weekend. We don't have to race and whatnot, and it's just a little paradise for us, you know, get away from all that stuff. But yeah, we pretty much live and work in Bronson.
Your dad has a shop there at the racetrack?
Yes, sir. It's very convenient.
Yeah. My ex-brother-in-law lived down the street there in Bronson. Of course, there's only one traffic light there off of Thrasher.
Yeah,
it's 27,
right, yeah.
And he lived back off of one of those state roads up there. But the racetrack there, what's going on with the racetrack there, Travis? What's your dad going to do with it besides just use it for TV shows and stuff?
I'm not sure. I try to stay away from that as much as I can, to tell you the honest truth. I just try to do my thing in the shop, but just, I mean, so far,
come on, give us a little inside information, Travis. You hear what's going on. What's going on there?
Leave the kid alone. Don't get him in trouble.
He's not a kid anymore. He's 18. Come on.
No. I mean, to tell you the truth, I stay away from it so much. I don't have that much inside information, but Florida racing in general is, hadn't been looking good, which is very unfortunate, and there's just no fans and stuff, and then no way to make any money, and it you know, you keep paying out of your pocket to keep it going every weekend, and you know, not everybody can do that, so
yeah, he just needs to schedule some big races, I guess, every now and then,
you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's what we're working on, and there's supposed to be a schedule coming out soon. I couldn't tell you when, but you know, there'll be more. He's at Bronson. So.
Tell us more about Travis. I want to learn about you, how you got where you are, what's your point standings, who's your sponsors. I want to hear about Travis.
Travis. Well,
that's it, huh? Okay, right, thank you.
Hey, Travis.
She's such a woman. I know Travis.
Travis.
You know.
Could take a while.
hey, Travis.
Yeah.
You started in the ASA. Your first race was over there in New Smyrna.
Yeah.
You did pretty darn good, and you guys decided to go on. You were doing pretty good up at Orange County until you got in that wreck. What do you see? You're going to continue doing some ASA racing this year?
Oh, yeah, for sure. ASA is a little amazing series. It really, I think so. It, you know, there's a lot of young guys, and it's that we all respect each other and go out and race and have fun, you know. Just race to finish the race and you know, learn from each other, and that's what it's been like so far for me, except for the Orange County race. Just gotten a little incident, but that was the only one so far, and it's a really cool little series, a lot of fun.
Travis, you did you jump right into the ASA series racing wise, or what did you start racing in?
I actually started racing. I did a local series in DeSoto, just a limited late model, and that's what I actually started in. And before that, my dad had a ASA national tour car, and I drove around Bronson with that just to get seat time.
Get some seat
and
time.
And from there, my Uncle Jimmy built us a limited late model, and that's how I started, just doing local races at DeSoto. Then I did a few Goodyear races, and from that, we did some super races, then ASA came along.
You know, you've been traveling around. Where have you gone out of state to race?
Just so far, Orange County and Birmingham.
You haven't found anything like Bronson yet, though, have you?
No, I haven't. Not quite. Hopefully I do soon, because we usually do pretty good at Bronson. I'm pretty.
There's not any track like that around here. I know that in the state of Florida, that's a unique track to itself, and maybe in the whole United States. I don't know.
Bronson's a tough little place to get around, but it's a racer's racetrack. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it sounds like you're having a really good time with the ASA series right now. Do you plan on going out and doing anything else, maybe trying to go run something up north or maybe try to jump into an ARCA car or a truck or something like that?
Not that I know of right now. We want to try to finish out the ASA schedule, then maybe do a couple ASA challenge races. But other than that, just the supercar and some ASA Challenge races, and that's all I know about so far until something bigger comes along. But I'm just going to races trying to finish good right now, you know.
Yep.
That's the best thing to do is keep trying to win those races. You know, when you have a stellar field that you beat up on the other night, that's all you got to do is keep doing that, and somebody will put you behind the wheel one day, and you know. Keep your reputation good. That's all you can do.
Yes, sir.
You know, this you kicked everybody's butt this weekend, and that's got to be a pretty memorable moment. You know, you're a young guy in racing, and there's a lot of them out right there, out running around right now. What do you think has been your greatest accomplishment coming into the racing scene?
The greatest accomplishment would be just this weekend, this past weekend. That was, I mean, to go out there and just run against guys like Wayne Anderson and, you know, Timmy Russell.
You beat them. You didn't run against them. You beat them. Beat them all.
Exactly. But just to run against them, you know. I mean, but then to go out there and actually, I mean, we've always been pretty competitive, but I don't know if anybody's ever really took us serious yet, but I believe they're starting to take us serious now. And
just to dispel rumors, what happened in that second race?
In the limited,
in the 100 lapper.
What rumors did you hear?
I said to dispel any that may. What happened at the beginning of that race?
Well, towards lap 70. Actually, we took our lead probably around 30 or so. I'm not sure, and it led to about 70. And on a restart,
a restart. Yeah.
Yeah, the restart. Yes, the 54 car was under me, but, I didn't go into gear. When I shifted, didn't go into high gear. Then he just, and I got run over and everybody, you know, wrecked behind me. So,
well spoken.
Did you cause the wreck? You missed a shift and got run over pretty much.
Travis, it takes a big man to admit that sometimes, especially in racing. I've been on both sides of the fence there, but
I'm not going to say I missed a shift because it's only a 2-speed car and it's just, you know, it's either, you know, third or fourth neutral. I said I missed a shift, you know. But I caused the wreck personally. You know, you ask somebody else, they might not see it that way. And I really felt bad for it, but, you know, that's racing.
Just got to throw your hands up and go, well, my mistake.
And that's, you know what, they respect you for that.
I think so.
When it's all over and done, if you've been honest and you're straight up about it, they'll
hate
you a little bit less.
Did you listen to the show earlier? We had Ricky Carmichael on here and trying to get him to come make one of these races down here in Charlotte County on the 15th. How about you? You want to come down and run the Super on the 15th down here in Charlotte County?
On the 15th? I had to look at the schedule. But yeah.
Come on, bring it.
Bring it. Me up.
Bring it, man.
Bring it on.
Bring that Super down here and run it. Tell that uncle of yours to bring his down here, too. It's hard to get him to even go out and race anymore. He's big time now. You know, he's the teacher now, so... it's funny, you know, him and Dick Anderson and Dave Pletcher, they're all out making money now. They used to make money racing, but now they found out it's easier to make money without having to build any car or do anything. You just go teach and you can make money. Hey, it was good talking to you, Travis. I think we've got to...
One thing real quick, Travis, being the young guy and coming from a racing family that's so well known in Florida and still having people out there running that raced against them, Is it one of those things that a lot of these drivers are coming up to you and going, you know, I used to race with your uncle or I used to race with your dad or who? Has that been something that's a lot of guys been coming up to you, giving you a hard time, ribbing you?
I mean, not necessarily. There's guys like Joe Winchell, Chuck Burkhalter, great guys, and they've said a little bit about, you know, just racing with my uncle and my dad and. And I've done a couple magazine articles, and they've mentioned that, you know, I've raced against his dad. But other than that, they really don't give me too hard of a time. They usually just go to my dad and give him a hard time, you know, and just leave me alone. But
that's great.
That's about that, yeah.
Now, coming from Joe Winchell, that's not too bad.
Joe is a great guy.
Yeah, he is. You know, young guy, you can't be doing this on your own. I know you got quite a few sponsors and some family members there helping you. Let everybody know who they are.
Oh, yeah. Grubbs Emergency Services, main sponsor. Gary Grubbs, you're familiar, I'm sure.
Yep.
And he's won a couple championships himself, and is really, really familiar with racing. And it's really cool to have a sponsor like him because, I mean, no matter what, win, lose, draw, he understands because he is a racer himself, you know? So that kind of takes a lot of pressure off me. But, yeah, Grubbs Emergency Services. Best Line Superior Lubricants just came on board, and this is a new product, and next couple weeks they'll be wrapping up an infomercial that they've been doing, that I'm in actually, and my dad as well.
Oh, cool.
And, it's just basically an oil additive that any oil makes it better, and they also have many other products.
To reduce wear in engine motors and all the moving parts and stuff like that.
But Redline Oil has backed us since day one, and that's about it is the main one.
Well, it's cool. Funny because Bobby, when my grandson's 7, and when the race first started, he knows most of the late model drivers, and he doesn't know you yet. And he said, "Nanny, that 26 car is going to win. I bet you anything." honest to God, that was the first car he picked, and he stuck with it through the whole thing. And then when Clouser crashed, he said, "Nanny, that's why I don't want to race." But you did good, and we're really proud of you, and thank you so much for being on the show, Travis. We'll have you back again.
We'll see you on the 15th at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
Work on that.
Work on it.
I'll tell you, you got some fans down there that'll make you feel real special.
I tell you what, you got a lot of Cope fans down this way. It would definitely be a treat to see you come down here and run.
There's probably a lot of Cope haters down here, too. So be
they
ready
love
for
to
those.
Hate them. They love to hate them.
Travis, come prove them all wrong. Come prove them haters wrong.
It doesn't matter. Just win. All right, Travis, thanks for coming on, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Nice talking to you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Hey, folks out there listening, I want to apologize. I know that we've been going in and out today. The download after the show, or when we get it up there, when will the download be up for them to download it? Immediately? It'll be up there tonight. You'll be able to download the show and hear it in its entirety without any kind of breakups. Comcast is having problems today, and that is our cable network who we send our show out on, so there's nothing we can do about it, and it was a terrible show for that to happen, but remember, you can download it and get the whole show without any problems.
It will be archived.
Yes.
Just and, like everything else.
It will go down as the rest of our shows have as radio gold. That's what I'd say.
It's gold and oldies. Stick it in there or spin it around. We'll play the tunes for you.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening to Inside Florida Racing. And
and we're going to go see Ricky Carmichael Friday.
We sure are. I'm
and Ricky Carmichael
to
may come see us on the following Saturday. Wouldn't
maybe
that be nice? On
I've
the,
never been to Orlando Speedway. Have you?
No.
Well,
I have.
Looking
it's nice.
Forward
it's going
to
be
that.
First. You're going to like it because it's really a neat track. When you go there and look at it, it looks like a racer's racetrack. Everything's all painted up. Looks nice. Hey, folks, thanks for listening to Florida Inside Florida Racing. And I'm Rob Elting, Bonehead. I'll see you later.
I'm racing Jason Beckner. You'll see me somewhere. I'm the only guy in the South Florida that wears overalls.
Superfan Carol Wicks. Good night, everybody, and thank you.
Hey, Jack, you going to say bye?
Got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping. Hey Lord, can't you hear me call? a little party. Did my jive in the cave. When you're doing the St. Pete Boogie, don't be contemplating crime.